朋友们，大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》。在总统辩论委员会表示下个星期的第二场总统辩论会采取线上的模式之后，特朗普总统表示他不接受线上的辩论。此外，特朗普总统还说，此前他只是内阁官员停止与国会谈判新的纾困方案，不过星期四他又表示会重启谈判。下面我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄洋溢的报道。
主办美国总统辩论会的总统辩论委员会在星期四的时候宣布，因应防疫的考量，原定在下个星期三10月15号要来举办的第二场总统辩论会改为线上虚拟的方式进行。对此呢，特朗普总统星期四在接受福克斯商业台的访问的时候则表示说，如果是这样子的话，那他就不参加。特朗普总统在福克斯商业台的访问当中说，不，我将不会浪费我的时间在线上虚拟辩论，辩论并不是那样的，坐在电脑前面辩论太可笑了，然后他们可以随时切断你。首先，我想我的情况已经比较好了，好到我想要在今晚就举办造势集会。我昨天晚上就想办一场集会了，但我想我的情况已经比较好了，比我之前要好。我之前开玩笑说比20年前的我还要好，我觉得很健康，没有任何不对劲。我确诊了，我克服了，我想那是因为再生元的抗体鸡尾酒疗法有效，那就像是来自上天的礼物。特朗普竞选阵营随后表示，在当天呢，特朗普总统将会改为举办竞选造势集会。民主党候选人拜登的竞选阵营发出声明说，拜登已经准备接受总统辩论委员会的虚拟市民大会的辩论，但是既然特朗普总统拒绝参加，拜登在10月15号当天将会举办以适当的方式来接受选民的直接提问，并且期望总统辩论选举委员会将市民大会改到10月22号举办。特朗普总统之前在星期二宣布，是他要求其内阁官员停止与国会谈判新一轮的纾困方案，这导致了当天的股市下跌。特朗普总统星期四在福克斯商业台上说，已经重新开始谈判，并且聚焦在提供航空业者纾困金，还有有需要的人能够获得1200美元的救济金等等。星期四，美国劳工部公布的最新失业报告，上个星期有84万人第一次申请失业救济，而从疫情开始以来，已经有超过2550万人申请了失业救济。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
美国国务院负责对抗外国虚假宣传的特使利亚·加布里埃尔星期三接受了美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的专访。随着11月3日美国大选日的临近，加布里埃尔表示，外国恶意行为者散播不实信息，试图破坏民主选举和民主价值。来看报道。
美国国务院全球接触中心的任务之一是对抗外国宣传虚假信息的努力，这些行为的目的在于破坏与影响美国政策。全球接触中心特使利亚·加布里埃尔告诉美国之音，美国政府注意到，在美国总统特朗普与第一夫人的新冠病毒检测呈阳性之后，被中国共产党宣传部门严密控制之下的中国社交媒体出现了幸灾乐祸的言论。
The Chinese Communist Party very closely controls those narratives, that the Chinese Communist Party censors narratives within, the Chinese information landscape and on Chinese social media. So it's really hard to tell what's actually happening in the minds of the Chinese people. And quite frankly, I think that it would be beneficial to the people of China to be able to have open discourse rather than being trapped, inside that great firewall of China.
加布里埃尔说，在新冠病毒疫情这场健康危机期间，美国看到了中国共产党竭尽全力采用了一些俄罗斯式的宣传虚假信息手段制造困惑，除了试图让人们相信新型冠状病毒并非起源于中国，其他的不实宣传主题还包括了美国选举以及发生在白俄罗斯的抗议活动。
Now, of course, adversaries and malign actors, competitors that use disinformation or use the information space as a weapon tend to target elections. Democratic values, democratic principles, and democratic elections go hand in hand with malign actors trying to use disinformation and propaganda to undermine those processes.
距离美国大选不到一个月的时间，这位美国特使表示，晚上让他睡不着觉的是担忧原本提供世界各地人们交流平台的社交媒体被不良行为者拿去操弄，试图塑造舆论。他表示，让人们提防在网络上的虚假讯息至关重要。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
美国国会民主党联邦众议员赵美心10月2日通过视频接受了美国之音的专访，对亚裔美国人参政、美国应如何应对新冠疫情以及中国的人权等议题发表看法。今天我们为您播出专访的第一部分。
Thank you very much, Congressman Woman Chu, for speaking with Voice of America. I would like to start off with the issues of Asian Americans' participation in the United States politics. As the first Chinese American woman elected to the United States Congress, what are your thoughts on the current state of Chinese Americans getting involved in U.S. politics? Do you see an upward trend of more Chinese Americans participating in local and national elections?
Well, I think that there is tremendous power and potential in the Chinese American vote. And let me tell you that Asian Americans are the fastest growing racial and ethnic segment of the U.S. electorate, and Chinese Americans are the largest Asian Pacific Islander subgroup in the nation. So the Chinese American community continues to grow.And we see the Chinese American community becoming more involved in U.S. politics and making their voices heard. Now, we've seen progress in Congress. There was a time when we were completely invisible in Congress. And as a result, there have been terrible policies in the past, like the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. Why would such a discriminatory law be passed against Chinese Americans? Well,There was nobody in Congress. We had no voice. But today, we have 20 Asian American Pacific Islanders that have been elected to Congress. Of those, we have 4 that are Chinese American. There's Grace Meng, Ted Lieu, myself, and in the Senate, there's Tammy Duckworth. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing more and more Chinese Americans running for office.This year, we had Andrew Yang, who ran for president, and actually did quite well. He really electrified the nation.
Yes.
With his presidential bid, his bold ideas, and of course, he had a huge following, the Yang Gang, and they were multi-ethnic. I mean, it was really interesting being around them because they were all kinds of people, but somehow they gravitated to the kind of words and vision that he had.
Mm-hmm. You're also the chairwoman of CAPAC, Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus. In your view, what's the biggest challenge for Asian American to run for a political election in the U.S.?
One problem is not having the infrastructure, we didn't have the kind of big groups that would help us get elected at the beginning. We are starting to develop that, so...It is something that is very much needed, and we are trying to provide that. And in fact, I must tell you that CAPAC, the organization I chair, the Congressional Asian Pacific Caucus, has a political arm, and it tries to do exactly that. That is, provide the political help, the fundraising, the kind of political know-how that can get a personOf Chinese American descent and Asian American descent elected to office. Mm-hmm. So we have very good prospects for this coming election in November. I think that our Asian American numbers are going to grow. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say there's something that is a problem for Chinese Americans, and that is stereotyping. We have a stereotype in the United States, which is the perpetual foreigner stereotype.And that is, no matter how long you've been here, or maybe you're someone like me who was actually born here, stereotype is that you belong to somewhere else. You belong to China.
Next subject, I would like to talk about the COVID-19 pandemic. It's probably one of the most important issues that shapes the discussion of the upcoming elections and how it changed the way we live.
Obviously, many are concerned about the role WHO plays in this pandemic this time. What's the most urgent task, in your opinion, that the U.S. should take or should work with other countries to solve the crisis caused by this pandemic?
Well, we have to restore our partnerships with people around the world. He wants to withdraw from the WHO. We know that really the only way that we can defeat this virus is through international cooperation. And we saw this with SARS. We saw that it took doctors from all across the globe to share information about the cases of who was at risk, how to treat it, and how to contain it. And of course, we can't contain it unless we work cooperatively around the world. So that's what I think is missing right now, because this president doesn't want to cooperate with others. And of course, that cooperation is absolutely necessary once a vaccine is developed. First of all, there's going to be a huge, huge task to get everybody here in the United States to be able to take that vaccine. But clearly, we need to have that vaccine distributed around the world if we're going to contain this virus.
美国总统国家安全事务助理10月7日警告中国，不要试图以武力侵占台湾，并且呼吁台湾增加其国防预算，以抵抗中国不断扩张的军事力量。白宫国家安全事务助理罗伯特·奥布莱恩在内华达大学的一场活动中谈到台海两岸关系时表示，中国大肆扩张海军也是为了使他们有能力将美国海军赶出西太平洋，为两栖登陆台湾创造机会。 他说，中国近年来大张旗鼓地发展海军力量，在一战后，世界从未出现过这样的发展力量，凸显了中国的野心。奥布莱恩表示，台湾需要大幅增添海岸防御武器和先进的监视装备，以跟上中国的扩张速度。美国负责东亚事务的高级国防官员本周二也表示，台湾明年增加14亿美元的国防支出的计划不够充分。 美国参议院军事委员会成员科顿表示，美国应该继续扩大对台武器销售，支持台湾延长自我防备的时间。他进而表示，现在是美国对防卫台湾做出明确且毫不含糊的承诺的时候了。科顿认为，这样做并不需要修改台湾关系法。 也不需要改变美国对所谓一中政策的认知。星期三，在华盛顿保守派智库哈德逊研究所举办的一场视讯对话上，科顿表达了上述观点。10月6日结束的美国国防工业网络会议上的发言人包括美国国防部印太安全事务代理助理部长海大卫、美国在台协会会长莫健、台湾国防部副部长张冠群以及国民党主席江启臣等。 美台商业协会会长韩汝伯当天就是否预计近期美国将通报国会一批包括水雷和无人机等战略的对台军售案表示，过去3年来，美国对台军售的过程已经常态化，但他不认为短期内有为此会议准备的清单。他对美国之音说，有许多项目已经准备就绪，即将通报，目前正在进行正式宣布前最后的幕僚作业。
77岁的耶鲁大学教授、美国著名的诗人路易斯·格鲁克获得了今年的诺贝尔文学奖。来看报道。瑞典学院星期四公布，美国诗人路易斯·格鲁克获得2020年诺贝尔文学奖，称赞他毋庸置疑的诗意之音，以朴素之美使个体的存在成为普世。 瑞典学院常务秘书马特·马尔姆表示，77岁的格鲁克在北美时间清晨得知获奖消息时感到惊讶和高兴。
The Nobel Prize in Literature for 2020 is awarded to the American poet Louise Glück for her unmistakable poetic voice that with austere beauty makes individual existence universal.
格鲁克是耶鲁大学教授，他在1968年发表了首部作品《投生子》，被认为是美国当代文学最杰出的诗人之一。瑞典学院说，他的诗篇特点是追求清晰，聚焦于童年、家庭生活以及父母和兄弟姐妹之间的亲密关系。 诺贝尔医学、物理和化学奖在本周早些时候颁发，和平奖将于星期五宣布。今年诺贝尔奖在新冠病毒大流行的阴影下颁发，这导致每年12月在斯德哥尔摩举行的诺贝尔奖颁奖典礼取消。颁奖典礼将以电视转播形式举行，获奖者将在自己的国家接受这份荣耀。若新冠病毒疫情明年缓解，今年的获奖者将受邀参加2021年的颁奖典礼，与明年的获奖者一同庆祝。美国之音新闻报道。
副总统彭斯以及民主党副总统参选人哈里斯星期三晚上在犹他州的盐湖城举办的辩论中对峙。来看报道。
美国总统和第一夫人以及白宫其他人士新冠阳性的新闻成了辩论中广泛议题的主轴。哈里斯说，特朗普对这种病毒的反应是灾难性的。
The American people have witnessed what is the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country.
彭斯说，事实并非如此。他指出，特朗普对来自新冠病毒中心的中国旅行设限，从而减缓了疫情在一月下旬的传播。
And again, the American people deserve to know Joe Biden opposed President Trump's decision to suspend all travel from China.
彭斯说，特朗普加大了检测力度，推动疫苗研发。哈里斯质疑特朗普在制定疫苗时间表上急于求成。
If the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Stop playing politics with people's lives. The reality is that we will have a vaccine, we believe, before the end of this year.
新冠大流行使经济陷入困境。但是哈里斯说，问题在疫情之前就开始了。
Because of a so-called trade war with China, America lost 300,000 manufacturing jobs.
彭斯再次表示，事实并非如此。
Lost the trade war with China, Joe Biden never fought it. Joe Biden has been a cheerleader for communist China through over the last several decades.
双方的争议还包括。特朗普提名保守派法官艾米·康尼·巴雷特填补因金斯伯格大法官去世而空缺的最高法院席位。一位政治学家说，副总统候选人辩论要避免出现损害其竞选伙伴的错误。
And I think that they largely succeeded in doing no harm. Now, Vice President Pence is in a different position because he's part of the incumbent administration, and so he has to answer for the failures and the successes of the Trump administration.
另一位分析人士说，这场辩论对今年大选尤为重要。
People don't vote for vice presidents, they vote for presidents. But this year it's different. You have the oldest candidates ever. You've got one candidate who is the incumbent, the president, who's been diagnosed with a really serious disease.
在总统去世或无法履行职责的情况下，任何一位副总统候选人都必须准备好承担总统的职责。对许多选民而言，这是一项严肃的责任。在一些州，选民们已经开始了早期投票。美国之音奥沙利文，洛杉矶报道。
在星期三晚上举办的美国副总统候选人辩论上，中国议题也被提及。下面我们为您整理了两位候选人围绕这个议题的回答。
Vice President Pence, how would you describe our fundamental relationship with China? Competitors, adversaries, enemies?
China is to blame for the coronavirus. And President Trump is not happy about it. He's made that very clear, made it clear again today. China and the World Health Organization did not play straight with the American people. They did not let our personnel into China to get information on the coronavirus until the middle of February. Fortunately, President Trump,in dealing with China from the outset of this administration, standing up to China that had been taking advantage of America for decades in the wake of Joe Biden's cheerleading for China. President Trump made that decision before the end of January to suspend all travel from China.
And again, the American people deserve to know Joe Biden opposed President Trump's decision to suspend all travel from China. He said it was hysterical. He said it
Thank
was
you,
xenophobic.
Vice President Pence.
But President Trump
Vice
has
President
stood
Pence,
up to China. We're going to continue to stand strong.
Thank you, Vice President Pence.
We want to improve the relationship, but we're going to level the playing field, and we're going to hold Vice China accountable for what they did to America with the coronavirus.
Thank you. Senator Harris, let me ask you the same question that I asked the Vice President. How would you describe our fundamental relationship with China? Are we competitors, adversaries, enemies?
Susan, the Trump administration's perspective and approach to China has resulted in the loss of American lives, American jobs, and America's standing. There's a weird obsession that President Trump has had with getting rid of whatever accomplishment was achieved by President Obama and Vice President Biden. For example, they created within the White House an office that basically was responsible for monitoring pandemics. They got rid of it.
Not true.
There was a team of disease experts that President Obama and Vice President Biden dispatched to China to monitor what is now predictable and what might happen. They pulled them out. We now are looking at 210,000 Americans who have lost their lives. Let's look at the job situation. We mentioned before the trade deal, the trade war, they wanted to call it, with China. It resulted in the loss of over 300 manufacturing jobs and a manufacturing recession, and the American consumer paying thousands of dollars more for goods because of that failed war that they called it. Then let's talk about standing. Pew, a reputable research firm, has done an analysis that shows that leaders of all of our formerly allied countries have now decided that they hold in greater esteem and respect Xi Jinping, the head of the Chinese Communist Party, than they do Donald Trump, the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief of the United States. This is where we are today, because of a failure of leadership by this administration.
Two parties' 非裔选民对卡马拉·哈里斯参议员的辩论首秀做出了评价。
卡马拉·哈里斯是站上副总统辩论台的首位非裔女性，来看报道。周三晚上，民主党副总统候选人卡马拉·哈里斯透过有机玻璃隔板与共和党的麦克·彭斯进行了交锋。克里斯·阿尔普斯是特朗普的一名非裔支持者，他认为这场辩论更有实质性的内容。彭斯得以充分地为现任政府对疫情的回应做出辩护，同时细查哈里斯和他的竞选搭档。
Kamala Harris is trying to come across as for social justice, but Pence touched on that a little bit about her record as a California DA. She put more African-American men in jail for marijuana possession. She is on record in her book saying that if we wanted to put more cops on the streets, I raised my hand for that.
Next, you have 2 minutes. 共和党人极度希望把这场竞赛变成是在两名带领国家走往完全不同方向的候选人之间做出选择。他们表示，拜登和哈里斯追寻的是介于社会主义边缘的极左议程，而民主党人说特朗普政府会激起种族和其他分化，摧毁那些不富有人群的健保计划，并在其他方面削弱国家力量。 阿尔普斯认为，民主党人更应该为紧紧抓住党内的进步左派不放而担心，而不是吹嘘他们从右翼政客那里获得的支持。多里安·泰厄斯是一名支持前副总统乔·拜登的非裔选民，他不认同以上说法。他认为把网撒得更开会吸引到那些抱观望态度的选民。
We're in a tough situation right now in this country with COVID-19. We need to unify. And so as she talked about getting the support of Republicans, Democrats, and independents, it hit my soul because that's where we need to go to get out of some of the tough times that we're in.
距离大选日还有不到四周的时间，辩论是特朗普和彭斯最后的机会之一，来重置一场可能正在滑走的竞赛。美国之音为您报道。
随着11月3日美国大选日的临近，社交媒体脸书继续收紧了限制措施，禁止使用军事化的语言，鼓励人们前往投票站监票。
社交媒体脸书本周三表示，对于使用军事化语言鼓励民众前往投票站监票，或者提出目标是对选举官员和选民进行恐吓、施以控制或展示力量的内容，脸书将予以禁止。共和党动员了数以千计的志愿者前往投票站监票，以寻求特朗普总统所说的选民欺诈的证据。选民欺诈的说法目前并没有被证实。活动人士担心这会导致投票站出现紧张局面。民主党方面在十几个州雇佣专人负责保护选民，应对可能出现的局面。脸书还表示，该公司将拒绝过早宣告竞选胜利或暗示官方结果无效的广告。美国之音新闻报道。
第二大连锁电影院关闭了美国的536家电影院，原因是新冠病毒大流行仍然在持续，人们迟迟不愿意回到电影院。
电影世界 Cineworld 集团无限期关闭美国超过530家里戈电影院和英国约125家电影院。首席执行官穆基格里丁哥说，此举影响到45000名员工。
I think that we reached a stage that we had no alternative. It's a very, very difficult decision for us, mainly in view of the move that we need to take towards the employees. It's not simple.
新冠病毒爆发后，该集团关闭了电影院，七月间又重新开放。
And really at the beginning, we got a very warm welcome.From our customers, and we saw that people were missing the cinema. People want to go back to the cinema, but in a certain stage, we didn't have the goods.
那是因为电影制片厂推迟了新片的发行，例如最新的《007》影片。
James Bond.
格里丁哥说，所以目前开放影院不合情理。
We were in a kind of a situation that.From liquidity point of view, we were bleeding much bigger amounts when we are open than when we are closed, because we'll be like a grocery shop with no food, and we had to take this decision.
同时，全球最大的电影连锁集团 AMC 娱乐公司星期二表示，该公司在美国和欧洲的大部分影院。仍将继续营业。美国之音迪亚洛报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。
Poisoning is completely reprehensible. Russia has used chemical nerve agents in the past, and we're working with our allies and the international community to hold those in Russia accountable wherever the evidence leads and restrict funds for their malign activities. people have a right to express their views peacefully without fear of retribution of any kind, and certainly not with chemical agents.